Welcome back, everyone, to RoomPak's Res Ed Chat podcast. If you're new to the show, every episode we feature a variety of topics of interest to higher professionals who work in and with university housing, residence life, residential education, whatever you might call it. We're covering a wide variety of topics, as I said on the show in this episode here. I think hopefully what we're trying to do here is kind of a string of episodes focused on different aspects of assessment work, which, you know, kind of a core component of the curricular approach, and so much that's happening nowadays in residence life. And so I feel like we're kind of starting a little bit broad here, so we'll see kind of where we go in the conversation, but just kind of building an assessment plan, why it's important, you know, how to kind of utilize it and use technology to assist in that process. I will let our expert kind of get more into detail on that, but we'll start as we always do. Danielle, if you want to briefly introduce yourself and kind of go over your professional background, and then we'll get into the assessment plan that you built and kind of get into a little bit of the details of it.
Hi, everybody. My name is Danielle Parker. I use she, her pronouns. My journey in higher ed started, obviously, when I was an undergrad, super involved in the RA world, in the student government world. And then I started going to grad school. I actually changed my career path from like doing medicine and doing a STEM background to then transitioning into higher ed. So I went to a school called Indiana University of Pennsylvania. And at that time, I was working at Carnegie Mellon. They were in the process of creating rubrics for their curriculum. So that was my first exposure to what curricular design is and how it can look within a residence hall. So I knew from that point, I just really enjoyed the structure of curriculum. I really enjoyed res life. So I started applying for jobs and found myself at an institution in Florida called Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, where they also were utilizing the curricular approach. And it was a small little flight school. And we were really trying to evolve our curriculum. I think it was in year two of implementation. So did a lot of really good work down there. And I was known as the person who always asked the question of how are we going to assess this program? How are we going to assess this strategy? To the point where I remember I was sitting in meetings and they were like, aren't you going to ask the question, Danielle? And I was like, but what question? And they're like, how are we going to assess it? I go, good thing I have a good impact, because we're getting into the mindset that we need to start assessing. So I then decided it was a little too hot down in Florida, a little too far away from family. So I landed at UMBC, which is in Baltimore, Maryland, where I really got the cool opportunity to work with restorative practices as well as their curriculum. And that's really where my passion for assessment bloomed. And I was really able to get experience in understanding how do you design and implement assessment plans in order to improve a residential curriculum for students. And most recently, I went on the job search again because I was like, I need more of a challenge. And now I'm at Temple University as the Assistant Director for Academic Initiatives and Student Engagement. So now I oversee and chair our curriculum, which is referred to as SOAR. And we are in the process, well, I'm in the process of learning how a SOAR implemented, what works, what doesn't work. So hopefully soon we'll be able to have a really robust assessment plan to help with improving the strategies and improving our student staff's experience with SOAR and implementing SOAR. So
yeah, exciting stuff. And I feel like we've had like a handful of people from UMBC, I think specifically, that they're doing good work down there. And excited to have you on, because I know, Paul, kind of the architect of our show, you know, he obviously originated it and sort of helps, host some episodes and kind of orchestrate them behind the scenes. And he recommended you coming on as part of kind of the presentation that you gave at the Institute for Curricular Approach, ICA, which we've covered on the show before. So it was talking about kind of your assessment plan kind of is covering this academic year. So we're recording this in December of 2024, just to sort of put us in place and time and space here. So I'd say you're probably in the thick of it, of like, you know, developing it or implementing it, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you could explain your assessment plan for this academic year and how it took shape, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Let's see. A lot of my assessment planning is revolving around the assessment cycle. So I'm sure for the folks that went to grad school and know about the assessment cycle, it's all about like planning, doing, figuring it out and then tweaking and then planning, doing, and it kind of revolves in a circle. And the cool thing I learned about grad school while I was in grad school, because I took a assessment specific course, was it doesn't matter where your starting point is. You just need to jump in and you need to kind of start going in the cycle, which is a really cool opportunity for anybody who's doing the curricular approach and you're like, I don't know where to start. You can always pull up the assessment cycle and kind of pick where do you want to start. And then the other thing I like to think a lot about is, you know, when you're thinking about assessment, what do you want to know? And sometimes people can see that as Pandora's box and they don't want to know the truth, or maybe we do want to know the truth and we're upset about the outcome. And I really try not to let that distract us from what our ultimate goal is. So, you know, when I'm thinking about like this year, I think it's really hard for me to deep dive into this is the whole cycle that we have, but I can share like little spotlights that we do have. So the first thing that I really wanted to know when I started at this job was I wanted to know how our strategies were actually doing with our residents. Because right now Temple has like a ton of good information about student implementation of our curriculum, kind of the satisfaction or where are they spending most of their time. But we didn't really have a ton of information about how are the residents interacting with our curriculum. So what I ended up doing, I said, you know, let's start tracking some things. Let's do the basics. Let's look at how many students are showing up and let's see what they're learning from it. And I think the challenge with assessment is sometimes we get stuck in satisfaction and we don't really look at the learning or the impact. So I was trying to be really intentional with when we were building out assessment tools, having no more than 5 questions. It's all survey based, which we have now run into a challenge with that. But I told the team, I said, listen, I want 2 questions to be learning and 2 questions to be satisfaction, and then 1 question to gather their information. So we built that. We use Anthology or Campus Labs, as some people refer to. So we use, they have an assessment branch called Basecamp. So we use that to kind of help with gathering all of that data, and it puts it into a report for us so we're able to see what students are gaining. And so far what we've learned is a lot of our community builders are actually having a really good impact on students. They're meeting the goals that we wanted, which makes me happy. It goes, okay, we did the thing, we can keep doing the thing, kind of proceeding forward. So that's one thing. The other thing I really wanted to know with student staff is what do they know about SOAR and what do they know about implementation of SOAR? So from that assessment, it was like a 10 question survey that all student staff members took some time to do. And it really analyzed, were they able to identify the different learning goals that we have within our curriculum? Are they able to identify high impact engagement strategies? So they were able to say, like, you know what, our OWL chats are doing really, really well, but our bulletin boards have no engagement, which was good information for us because it allowed us to then really reframe for the spring of where do we want to put our emphasis and stress with the student staff. Do we want to put all this time into bulletin boards, or do we want to put all this time into our OWL chats, community meetings that have the highest engagement? So that's just like one aspect of it. I think we are still in the process of figuring out, okay, what do we want to do and where do we want to go? And, you know, I think the spring will help us figure that out. I think the challenge, once again, I started in May. So really this first year is about me kind of sitting and watching and seeing if I can build some tools to learn more about what we're doing, which falls into the assessment cycle. So hopefully that was helpful.
It is. And I think I guess I appreciate your willingness and comfort of kind of like you're new and your position, and then like sort of in the thick of it of, you know, getting those sort of early stage insights and everything. And I think definitely really helpful to hear, even with like kind of you know, as complicated and kind of longitudinal as this work is, like that idea of what you're saying of like, because I say this a lot, just generally is like start somewhere. And then like in this work, it could be like, and start wherever it makes sense. Like if it is the idea of like, well, we've been doing a lot of work, but we're doing no assessment, or actually we've done a lot of assessment, but we've done like no analysis or something. Like it can be just sort of figuring out like, you know, where maybe can be the most, impactful, or if it's like, oh, we've gotten really far all the way through kind of three quarters of this process, but we just haven't really done that last part. So let's at least kind of like, you know, kind of go through so that we can hopefully, yeah, kind of start to sort of repeat the cycle of like, okay, adapting what we're doing with the insights that we've gotten from our, you know, feedback or whatever else, and, you know, kind of go from there. But yeah, because I think this is like, the one thing I've sort of jokingly thought in my head is that idea of like just this work generally, I think there often is just like the person who is like the assessment person, you know, but then like kind of like the emotional part of this work is that like people don't want to like look under the rock or whatever, you know, like the idea of like, oh my gosh, like, oh, look, you know, this is gonna be like super gross. I don't want to see what's under here. Or like the idea of people who like, don't go to the doctor because then I'm not sick or something. Like, it's like, oh, I know I'm like in pain or just, you know, uncomfortable, whatever, but like, I don't want somebody to tell me I have a problem because then like, it doesn't exist. Or we're like, I'm not going to open the mail because then that actually means it's a real thing. So like, that's like, there is like this emotional process of like you kind of have to get into that mindset of like, okay, this is, it's not about me. It, you know, like just get very objective about it. And I kind of, you know, logical, rational, whatever. Because I think it is that sort of virtuous cycle that can start is like, you know, doing work that is aiming at a goal. How close did we get there? Why didn't we hit it? Or why did we hit it? Let's like, you know, do more of what's working, less of what's not, and just sort of like keep that going and keep that kind of continuous improvement going. But I did want to kind of, you know, focus in on one part of it, I think is the technology piece. Cause I think, obviously that just makes it, I think more, certainly more efficient and maybe just more, kind of optimized and you kind of name dropped, you know, utilizing a tool, the Anthology. So if you want to talk more about that or just sort of like your thinking, even if it's sort of like, I don't know, like your sort of whole background and kind of history of like how technology, since I know like you're kind of like in the thick of it right now. So certainly talk about, you know, current example and or kind of the whole sort of longitudinal experience of you like utilizing technology, you know, to assess learning and do assessment, because I think that is like certainly a major factor here.
So I've kind of already started name dropping. I think here at Temple, we use Anthology. I've already talked about that in the Basecamp aspect. We also use Advocate to help with the data tracking for our ALChats or our intentional interactions. And they have actually launched a really cool tool to help with building ALChats within Advocate, building reports that helps with pulling, you know, where's each resident assistant at, where are they going, you know, what is the most commonly asked question, which really in long term will help us out with sequencing for the upcoming year of like, okay, this is when this question was most frequently asked. Why don't we build some strategies focused around some of those questions to help students feel more successful? So for example, you know, the start of the school year, we had a lot of RAs asking questions about roommate relationships, which, you know, has been a little bit of a challenge for us due to the high occupancy and limited ability to have residents change rooms. So what we've learned is like, okay, so we have a lot of students asking these questions at the beginning of the year. Why don't we build a strategy to help with residents navigating roommate relationship challenges? So I think that's one other example here at Temple that we're using. You know, during my time at UMBC, I think that's the assessment cycle I'm like the most proud of right now because I saw it from start to finish. But, you know, we surveyed our student staff to see, very similar to here at Temple, we wanted to know how the implementation of the curriculum was going. Because we really believed at UMBC having students implement and be a part of that implementation of the curriculum was critical. So, you know, when we assessed our students, we used Qualtrics to help with, very similar to Basecamp. We wanted something online, something that they could put in, but also a tool that would be able to generate the reports. Because if you don't have that tool, then you're responsible for generating that report, which can take a lot of time, which we all know in higher ed, we don't have a ton of time. So, you know, we use Qualtrics there. We used a lot of the assessment tools on RoomPact as well. So, you know, the report generated feature now that RoomPact has, I forget what like the technical name is, but, you know, that tool has been uber helpful with pulling strategy numbers, with pulling attendance numbers, with pulling, you know, owl chat, or I guess they use retriever chats there, retriever chat numbers there as well. So, you know, that's my other two experiences, is really Qualtrics and RoomPack to help with guiding a lot of that assessment planning. And I also think outside of technology, we use a lot of space just to encourage dialogue. So for example, we utilize focus groups to help with students creating a space where students felt comfortable. They didn't really feel like there was that autonomy or that power in the room to really express like, this isn't going well, so let's talk more about it. So, you know, obviously technology wise, we use a lot of recording features to kind of hear what they were saying, understand exactly the wording that they were expressing from that.
Yeah, my one big kind of reflection, and I know, I don't know when certain episodes will come out, but it's fresh in my mind. We just recorded it, like me and Paul talking about intentional conversations, just as sort of like a component of, you know, strategy here. And this, I think, just a very unintentionally relevant and kind of conversation to be kind of in a neighboring episode. But like, you know, that idea of like, okay, we kind of like did the sort of like, you know, intentional conversations 101 kind of episode. And now this sort of is like setting it within a whole sort of context of like, you know, you kind of harnessing them. And I think it's that idea for me of like everything that you're mentioning, you know, it's not like having people do something in a radically different way. It's just sort of like setting it within sort of a more appropriate sort of structure or sort of like, because I think what I'm struggling to maybe kind of articulate here is the idea that like, you know, you're having these intentional conversations, everything else, and like, you know, being able to maybe quantify them and measure them and, you know, all these different things. And it's like going to result, you know, my feeling is it's like result in sort of a place where we're not relying on people's sort of like gut checks and anecdotes and like all these sort of things. Like, and I think that's like going to just historically, like, you know, sometimes just for lack of any other better way, like we just didn't have a way to sort of like, you know, whether it's like, oh, I have all my paper notes here or something. I don't know. Like I could like read off of these or something. I don't know. But you know, what we're doing is so deeply human, and it is just sort of like, oh, like how are your residents doing would be like a question people would ask. And it's like, okay, I'll give you my sort of gut check anecdotal, you know, sort of response here. But we could say like, oh, wow, like the RAs have talked to a lot of the residents, or not many of them, or like so many of them at, you know, day whatever, or like at the end of the first month or the end of the first semester, are all remarking about the same things or whatever. Like, and you can say that for sure, because everybody should be like logging conversations or like flagging, you know, themes or whatever else. And you can just do that, you know, more appropriate analysis and like respond to it in, you know, the best way and everything, like do the right thing at the right time for the right people, all that kind of stuff. So like, I guess any reflections on that of maybe like, if you've had, I mean, it sounds like you've always sort of had like the assessment mindset and everything, but like maybe if you've encountered people who maybe almost like relish or just so used to like just like operating off of anecdotes, you know, how you sort of like, you know, through using technology, through being able to do that sort of measurement and analysis and tracking and everything else, like how maybe be able to like bridge those gaps, I guess, is sort of like my mind feel like that's sort of like a major kind of connecting of dots, is like, you're that person who literally people are looking to of like being like, oh, you're the assessment person. Like, how are we going to measure this? And then it's like, you know, that's sort of the next step is like, well, we did measure it. And here's how we can try to like, you know, operationalize it into sort of like how we're thinking about how we're, you know, doing programming or anything else. So like, to succinctly put this into a question, how do you take everything that you're doing to try to bridge the gaps between your colleagues or student staff or whoever else who are just sort of like overly reliant on, you know, gut checks and anecdotes?
Have to give a quick shout out. I think my assessment mindset really comes from grad school, where my professor really drilled into our head of assessment helps with improving, but it also helps with telling our story. And it, you know, I think we're in an era of higher ed where we are being questioned left and right. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we pouring so much money into the things that we do? And I think that, you know, bridges the gap between what you're talking about, right? I think a lot of your question is really asking, like, how do you bridge the gap between like feelings, but also using data to help with driving your decisions? And I think that's a good question. I think a lot about, I think starting here at Temple has really challenged me to think about that and think about how do we create a space where we can have hall directors, assistant directors, directors look at the data and really make some informed decisions about it. So for example, I think it was end of September, I had the goal in mind that each hall director would get a monthly report. And the monthly report would reflect how many programs have been logged, how many residents have shown up, what did they learn from that program. But it also took apart some of their ALCHAT numbers, and we only strictly looked at numbers of like, you know, this is how many ALCHATs we currently have logged. This is how many we're trying to shoot for. I think creating that space, that packet. So I made them like a physical packet they could hold and look at and write notes on. And then I also created like reflective questions. So I had them reflect on, you know, how are they feeling so far about the numbers? And then I had them reflect on like, what are your goals, not feelings, what are your goals based off of the numbers for the next couple of months? And I think creating a space and having us slow down to take a look and really reflect and be honest with each other was helpful. I saw a lot of RDs and hall directors just go, my numbers could be better. I did not know I was doing this like good or bad. That was up to their interpretation of their own expectations. But I think that really helps with bridging some of the gap. I think another thing that helped is recognition. I think people want to be recognized for doing the hard thing. And assessment is super hard. Figuring out implementation is hard. Figuring out how do you get your student staff on board for implementation. Figuring out, you know, how do you navigate that one student who you can't get a hold of? It's just all hard. Taking some time to say thank you and be like, hey, like, I really appreciate the work that you're doing helps with resetting that mindset of like, she's not out to get us based off of data. She's actually here trying to help us move forward. I also have been reading this book. It's called Switch. And it talks a lot about how do you navigate change with also keeping in mind people's logistics side as well as the feelings. And I think one key takeaway I took from that book so far is it's really important to have some of those clear goals because it makes it a little bit easier to help with navigating some of the feelings that are coming in play. So, I think that's another key tip is having very clear goals of this is where you want to go helps with navigating some of those hard feelings, intense feelings that may come up based off of like data or based off of direction or things like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I was sort of feeling and going as well as that idea of like, yeah, there's the logistical side. And I think that's where the technology comes in. It can make it very easy to sort of like do the work, track the work and all that. But then like the emotional side too, like they're kind of equally important in their own ways of doing something like this, where a lot of people can, I guess, like I said, like sort of relish or sort of like be fine or be happy with just the sort of anecdotes and that sort of thing. But when you can kind of, you know, respect both sides of the equation of the change management, and then also kind of the cherry on top is be like very clearly present to people, like, you know, here's how you're doing, why it's important. Like, even though like you're kind of getting at like, show people that they're doing better than they think they are, or like, you know, that's like, hey, well, here's where you're at and here's, you know, the areas that you can improve or whatever else. Like, because again, if you're just relying on anecdotes, it's just sort of like, you kind of just get very comfortable, I think, with the status quo, however you're sort of like measuring it or whatever. So I think it's all kind of like, you know, kind of mixed together of sort of how you approach, you know, kind of overseeing and, you know, implementing, you know, an assessment plan like this. And I know the other detail that I wanted to kind of focus on was the you're getting like students engaged in the process. And I guess more specifically, I'll kind of start with this question more specifically on student staff of like, you know, that idea of like, how is this being implemented and all that. So I think kind of our conversation's focusing a bit more on that. So from what you're saying, you know, you're surveying like student staff members, you're getting their input on, you know, how things are being implemented, how things are going. So I guess any further reflections on that of like why that is an important part of the process of what you're doing here?
To be honest, I think student staff play that vital role at the table, right? You know, they are the people that are implementing, they are the people doing the hard work that we are trying to envision for the students. So I think having them at the table has been a critical piece. And, you know, my whole time at UMBC, I remember starting there and I was very much in the mindset of, I am the educator, I have a whole master's degree, students should not be at the table because they don't know what like educational component they need to implement. And I think UMBC really challenged me to think differently about that. And, you know, I think student staff have that light on what are residents actually responding to and what are they not responding to. You know, I think here at Temple, we're experiencing the challenge of, you know, intentional interactions are a very sticky point because students don't want to interact with us. And I think we need to take some time and listen to that. But, you know, at UMBC, we had student staff sitting on the SOAR committee and they would come in once a month. And sometimes we would survey them and be like, you know, how did this strategy go? And how did that strategy go? And let's pick it apart. Or sometimes they would come in and we would talk about, you know, we had four pillars there and one of them was building community. And that was kind of like, quote unquote, our fun pillar. And, you know, they worked with us. We came in with like the educational components, but they also worked with us to figure out how do we want to implement that strategy at the table. And, you know, sometimes they would look at us and be like, students aren't going to respond to this. And I'm like, but it's bingo. You all love bingo. But like them giving us feedback is a part of the assessment plan, right? Of, you know what, this isn't actually going to work. Let's figure out how it is going to work to make it more, you know, acceptable or received better by the students. You know, I also think a lot about our student staff and, you know, I think the more that they are at the table, the more that they are bought into what we're doing and what assessment process that we are trying to implement, you know, which is my goal for here at Temple is hopefully by next semester, we will be able to have student staff coming in once a month, helping us figure out like what's working and what's not working to help strengthen the curriculum. Because I tell them every day, I said, listen, I think we need to like work together in the sense of, you know, I think RDs, hall directors, grads, professional staff, you know, we're the experts of education, what skills you need to learn by the time you leave, but you all are the experts of fun. So how do we bring you to the table to have more fun while also trying to implement the thing that we were trying to do?
Right. I guess it's the idea of like, we're not trying to lecture at anybody. So let's try to like, you know, yeah, do whatever you're doing in the most fun way possible. And I think, you know, because I think it's even the idea of like not necessarily taking, you know, these like student staff members' word as sort of like infallible gospel and everything. But it is just at least like trying to like check your work and check your thinking and, you know, engage with them in dialogue so that like if they are just like, oh, this isn't going to work. And it's like, tell me more. Or whatever. There might be kind of just a flimsy thing where it's like, I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't think it was like, well, let's try it still and we'll see. But like that'll obviously be taken into consideration. But it kind of expedites that process of, you know, you're doing something, getting feedback, analyzing it, and then trying to, you know, learn from that to do better next time. It's like, oh, well, before we even like try to do something, can we just get some quick sort of like, you know, insights of like, okay, this is what we're thinking. This is why we want to do it this way. This is the outcome we're going for. You know, how successful do you think this will be? And yeah, there can be certain ideas where it's just like, oh my gosh, yeah, don't try that. Or, oh yeah, that'll be really great. Or maybe if you do it this way, it'll be even better. So like, you don't have to wait so long to start generating insights that you can use, like you could use that to like immediately before you even, you know, start some sort of initiative the first time, be like, oh, hey, yeah, we already got some great feedback to, you know, make adjustments here. So I think that is, it's really smart. And I think, yeah, it's going to generate a lot more of that buy-in, even if like, you know, certainly by having them feel like their voice is heard. But, you know, if nothing else, it is just like, okay, people who will be like doing this stuff, like, let us give you, you know, some time and space here to like understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, the outcome we're hoping for and all that, versus just being like, well, just do it because I told you so, like, and just, you know, like, you know, deal with it or whatever. So I think, yeah, all that very good. I think just all the aspects of like, you know, just the broader sort of assessment plan, its importance, and sort of the things to be considerate of as you're getting it implemented. As we're wrapping up, I feel like this is a great topic to kind of keep the conversation going on as folks are doing this work. Any further advice or resources or things that you'd want to recommend to folks? I know you mentioned that one book, but yeah, anything else come to mind that you would like to share?
I think it's important to remember with assessment, sometimes things go to plan and you're like, check, 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 did the thing. But also sometimes there are loops that are going to make you either change it or throw it out the window or whatever it is. So, you know, I encourage people to be resilient and try not to lose sight of what you're trying to do. I think it's very easy in assessment to get in the weeds and to figure, like, forget about that big picture. So, you know, I mean, it's about being resilient. I think it's also, like you mentioned, I think we in higher ed need to do a better job of having students at the table to give some of that live feedback to us, because honestly, we can leverage that and create more impactful experiences. And I think, lastly, like, I'm not an expert on it. I'm just trying to figure it out as we're all trying to figure it out. But I think it's very hard. And we talked about it earlier, right? Like managing some of the feelings that come up with it, you know, of we're doing such a bad job. Or, you know, I think you have some people at the table that have been here forever and they're like, I don't want to let go of this. And I'm like, but I have the data saying this isn't good. So I think it's about, like, how do you create space to engage in that dialogue so feelings can be navigated as you're trying to persist forward. So greatest words of advice, be resilient, please, because it's going to help you out in the long end. And then you can tell your story of, you know, the impact that you're having on the students, which obviously gets good PR with your VPSA, provost, president. You know, you can keep going up the chain. So be resilient.
Yeah. Well, and it's like good advice for, you know, those who are the standard bearers, you know, for this, but also like if your colleague is coming to you and trying to like, you know, work with you on this, be resilient, be patient, be, you know, sort of understanding of like, you know, their approach and why they're doing this. And because, yeah, I mean, I think it is just, you know, so much of this work is sort of like, you know, it is sort of a rhythm. So if you get really into a rhythm, it's, you know, makes it a little bit easier. And then just sort of like being kind of reactionary, just because it's like, hey, there's just, you know, people living their lives. It could be a little bit controlled chaos of like living in the halls and just sort of dealing with the problems as they come up. But like, I think that idea of finding resilience kind of through that, taking the moments to, you know, have these conversations, which can feel sort of like hard and kind of, you know, taking a hard look at what you're doing well and not so well, whatever else, but slowing down and taking those moments of reflection and everything, I think can then end up having, you know, kind of paying off dividend. Like you're making an investment to have those conversations and to do the assessment work to have it not feel as though you're always just sort of like pushing against the grain and all that. It's like, why aren't students responding to this or that? Like, why are they always, you know, like, you know, flaunting the rules or doing whatever else? It's like, oh, because like, we're not explaining them clearly enough, or we're not like, you know, doing X, Y, or Z in our like, you know, conduct process or whatever, you know. But I think it is just sort of, yeah, important to have that resilience to have these conversations on both sides and to be really empathetic to all the sort of factors and emotions and everything else. And yeah, to bring students into the process and also to use the right technology tools to try to make it as easy as possible. But so, I mean, yeah, I really appreciate this. It feels like a very good kind of general conversation around assessment. I'm hoping to kick off a few different episodes on this topic in the coming weeks, but just really appreciate you, your work and your time, and for jumping on to have this conversation.
Yeah, tickled pink to be here. Best of luck, folks.